As we continue our journey through Hebrews and in this great chapter on faith here in Hebrews 11. So we saw last week how that these heroes of the faith died in faith. As it says, they didn't see the promises fulfilled, but that they believed and saw them afar off, which is the same as us. We see heaven in God's faithfulness. We know that it's real. We know that our future with the Lord is real. And as they declared, we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And so that's where we finished last week. Down in verse 16. So here, starting in verse 17, the Bible says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." So he offered his only begotten son. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in our hearts tonight as we dive in together. Just guide us in your truth and touch our hearts and grow us in our faith. It's such a privilege to be here, and may our Savior be magnified. And it's in his name that we ask this. Amen. So we already saw last week there in verse 11 where Sarah counted the Lord faithful. Notice it says there, "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." So she judged God faithful to keep his promises, and he did. And he gave them Isaac. Even though they were past childbearing age, they had a son, the promised son Isaac. And now just a few verses later, after we hear about Sarah believing in the faithfulness of God, and praise God for the faithfulness of God, few verses later, God asks Abraham to offer him up as a sacrifice. And that takes us to Genesis 22, so we should turn there. The Bible says there in verse 17, "When he was tried." So yes, this was a trial from God. Does God try us? Absolutely. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he trieth our hearts. And God was trying Abraham. And we will be tried from now until we leave this earth, because God is refining us. He's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. He's trying to make us more like Christ. And often that takes the trials. And so notice in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." So here the word tempt is used. In Hebrews 11, the word tried is used. Isn't that interesting? So let's go to 1 Peter 1, and we'll see where the Bible clearly teaches that God will try our faith, and God allows temptation often in our lives. Now, God gives us the strength to deal with it, and that's tied in with his faithfulness as well, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13, most of us know it. "There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." But what? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God is going to try our faith. We can count on that. 1 Peter 5:10. While we're in 1 Peter, turn over to 5:10. The Bible says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." After you've suffered a while. How long is that? I guess we'll find out when we get to heaven. Because it varies, doesn't it? After you've suffered a while, he'll establish strength and settle you. And so back to our passage, the Bible says he offered up Isaac. Hebrews 11:17, and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Now, did Abraham have a son prior to Isaac? Yes, he did. Ishmael. But he wasn't the son of promise. He wasn't the miraculous son. Does God have other sons besides Jesus Christ? Yeah, we're sitting here tonight, aren't we? But there's only one begotten son, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaac, of course, was an illustration, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Genesis 22, take thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. This is God speaking to Abraham. He says, take thine only son. He's got a son named Ishmael. But God referred to Isaac as his only son. Because of that special relationship, because he was the son of promise, and he was directly, again, a miraculous provision from God. So God here is asking Abraham to offer up what God gave in a miraculous way. Isn't that interesting? I mean, God is the one that came and said, I'm going to give you a promised son. I'm going to give you a miraculous son. And remember, there was such a delay that that's why Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands and had Ishmael. Little did they know what kind of trouble they were going to cause. How many thousands of years later? Because who are the descendants of Ishmael? Just look in the Middle East. Anyway, so they took things in their hands because it took a little while. It didn't happen in a few months or even a few years. It took some years. But then God gave them this promised son. They were just praising God for this miracle. And then when he reaches teenage years, God says, now I want you to offer him up. That was a test. It was a test of his dedication to the Lord. It was a test to see if he was willing to give his best unto the Lord, his favorite, if you will, unto the Lord, his only begotten son unto the Lord. And look down at verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up. Now, this isn't Abraham believing that God's going to put a ram in the thicket. This is Abraham believing that if he has to sacrifice Isaac one day, God will raise him up in the resurrection. That's what he's talking about. So he didn't go up on the mountain believing or knowing that God was going to stop him at the last second. All he knew was what God told him to do, and that was to sacrifice his son. And believed that if that's what God told him to do, he was going to do it, and God was going to raise him up, and he would see him again in heaven, just like David claimed about the son that he lost through chastisement after his sin with Bathsheba. So if we go back to Genesis 22, I want you to see some statements of faith given by Abraham as he walked up the mountain with his only begotten son. We can't even imagine the pain in Abraham's heart, because as far as he knows, he's about to kill his only begotten son. Think about that. How many times in the Bible do you see where God asks someone to kill their child? This is the only one. And he is a perfect illustration, again, of the Lord Jesus Christ, because our Creator gave up his only begotten son for us. So in verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said unto this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. That Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. So Abraham went up there believing that our God is a faithful God who's able to do anything, but not knowing what God's plan was. But if you go back to our passage in Hebrews 11, verse 19, it's very clear that this was all meant to be a foreshadow of Jesus, because it says in verse 19, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So right there God says, in a figure. And I guarantee you, as he was climbing that mountain, he felt what God felt. Because he was on his way to sacrifice his own son that he loved. Isaac, of course, pictured Jesus, because Isaac was willing to obey his father even unto death. And we have Jesus in the garden saying, not my will, but thine be done. Isaac was completely submissive, and he was a teenager by now. But he just trusted his father. And of course, Abraham pictured that father that's willing to give up his only begotten son, which is our Heavenly Father. And down back in Genesis 22 again, I should have just had you keep both of those, one in each hand. But verse 12, this is where God interceded. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. That's an important phrase. Now I know. Now I know what? That thou fearest God. This is God speaking to Abraham. And he says, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son. Here he says it again, thine only son from me. So is God trying to teach us something through this? Do we fear God enough to give him our best? Yes, he is. Does the Bible say we're to be a living sacrifice? Yes, it does. And we got to ask, would Abraham have enjoyed the blessings that he enjoyed if he had not been willing to obey God's command? No. This was all part of it. And so in Genesis 22:16, he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thine son, thine only son. So both Sarah and Abraham counted God faithful and believed that God would always provide, God would always protect, and that it's all in God's hands, and we need to do the same. And are there going to be times in our Christian lives where God's going to ask us to sacrifice? Yes, there are. And those are the times when God is testing us. He does test us. The Bible says he trieth our hearts. We actually did a study last winter on God's testing. And he tests us. He tests us in many different ways. I mean, Job is a classic example. So he will test our faith, and we need to be ready to believe, like Sarah and Abraham, our God is faithful, our God is powerful, our God is loving, and our God will only do what's right. And we need to believe that when that time comes, that we can, by faith, go forward and make the sacrifice he asks us to make, believing that we'll be blessed for it. And we're going to spend forever with God anyway. Which is what Abraham believed. I'm going to see my son again. If I have to sacrifice him, I'll see him again in heaven. Is God going to ask us to sacrifice our child? I don't believe so. Not physically sacrifice, but we don't know. He's going to ask us to make some sacrifices. Are we willing, like Abraham, verse 19, accounting that God was able, are we willing to believe that God's able to do anything, to raise him up, even from the dead? That's a big step of faith, but it's the same God that we believe saved us from hell and gave us eternal life and is making us a mansion in heaven. It's the same God when he asks us to make a sacrifice, are we willing to do it? Believing that he's faithful and that he will keep his promises and that he will only ask us to do what he believes is best, no matter what that might be. Amen? So we need to trust our God enough, like Abraham, to believe that God, when he asks, we're willing to say yes. Amen? Let's pray.